Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You're lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "And who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." The Gospel of the Lord. Of the many documents of John Paul II, which hopefully most of you have read, John Paul II takes this Gospel passage and comments on it related to the call to religious vocations and to the priesthood. How many young men are called, but they decide not to follow Christ for many reasons. So let's pray for religious and priestly vocations, because the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. Here you're spoiled in St. Peter Chanel. How many parishes have 7 priests and a brother? So you're kind of spoiled here. There are parishes in Europe that have 1 priest tending one parish, 12, 13, 15 chapels, not 1 priest. So we're kind of spoiled here, right? So be thankful that you have a lot of priests here. Many masses, many sacraments, many activities. So be thankful. Let's dissect the gospel. Let's take it maybe a verse at a time. It says that our Lord is heading toward Jerusalem, and this rich young man runs to the Lord with enthusiasm. We should do that. You come here every morning dragging yourself out of bed and begrudgingly coming to the 8 o'clock Mass, or do you run here with enthusiasm? Good question. Some of you are bowing your heads, right? no, we really should be enthusiastic in coming to the Lord. Our Lord likes that. So let's pray that we'd always have enthusiasm in coming to the Lord. And talk to people about the Lord with enthusiasm. With a smile on your face. Yeah. If we're not radiating enthusiasm and joy as Catholics, people will not want to come to the Catholic Church. Father Lena started a new initiative when he's giving out these cards, inviting all the people in the parish to bring someone back to church. I invite all of you, okay, starting this month of March, okay, bring one person back a month. So that means you've got 10 months. And I think what I'll maybe do, at the end of the year, I'll approach some of you and say, where are the 10 people that you brought back to church? Are you going to try to avoid me? Hopefully some of you said, Father, I brought 20 back. Amen. You know, I like to have these people in front of me, but I love to have the church packed to the gills, like the 10 o'clock mass, huh? I don't like the fact that there is an empty space there. There's, even less there. You know, this side, we got some people. Church should be full. We should probably have this in the prayer of the faithful. Lord, we pray that we'll pack churches like Joel Osteen. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. You ever hear of Joel Osteen? The mega church in, was it Texas, no? They just have what? A couple of symbols. You know, they got some bread and wine. And a somewhat eloquent preacher. But we've got the real presence here, don't we? Yeah. This church should be packed to the gills. The people are hanging from rafters that we don't have yet. No? So run to the Lord with enthusiasm. You know, maybe some of you saw that movie, God Is Not Dead. God Is Not Dead. Anybody see the movie? There's God, there's number 1, 2, and 3. You know, you should see that again, or you have young people, show it. It's really good. You remember how it ends when the professor is crossing the street and he's run over by a car? And then they go to the revival. It's almost like going to a Rolling Stones or a Beatles concert. Any of you ever heard the Rolling Stones? You're too young for that, right? No? The Rolling Stones and the Beatles. I mean, we say that the Protestants, they're too emotional, but I like that. I wish we had more Catholics like that. They're singing. Look, you got the guitar mass, and maybe a little bit exaggerated, but they're enthusiastic. And we're kind of... So learn from this rich young man to come to the Lord with enthusiasm. Then what does it say? It says that he... Go through it. Mark is a little bit more detailed than Matthew and Luke in this gospel. It's in the three synoptics, this one. It says that he knelt down before him. What does that mean? Every gesture is important. The fact that he's kneeling down is pointing out, if I kneel down before the Lord, I'm saying that I adore him, that he's God. So he has great reverence for Christ. Have any of you ever heard of the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius? No? What's the principle and foundation? We're called to praise God and reverence God. That he's doing, but not all of it. Then, he asks, I believe, the most important question anyone could ever ask. Were you paying attention? You ought to have a little bit of coffee before you come in the morning. Yeah? He asks the most important question, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The most important question we could ask. And then Jesus responds by saying, why do you call me good? Only God is good. And what does he do? Jesus says, obey the commandments. And our Lord goes through six of them. Okay? Not to say the other four are not important, but he goes through six. And the last one he mentions, honor your father and your mother. Now, what does he say? Good master, I have observed them all since I was young. Hey, not bad. How many of our teenagers, we got some here, can say that you've observed all of the commandments since you were young? I don't think any. I don't think any. How many of you are spit images of Dominic Savio, Fat Chance, huh? Or Maria Goretti? I don't see too many of them out there today. Maybe you do. Maybe your social circle is different than Father Broome's, no? But I think young people today really, really struggle to obey most of the commandments. So this rich young, he was very holy. Okay, here's the clincher then. It says, our Lord looked at him with love. Okay, another document of John Paul II. I'm going to give you a little bit of ecclesiology today. First encyclical, Redemptor Omnibus. John Paul II says, we can't live without love. I gave this talk to the teenagers in St. Bernard and Bellflower when I gave a vocational talk a couple of months ago. Start off, those little 8-year-old kids, they understand that. We all understand that. We can't live without love. So it says, Jesus looked at him with love. Now here's the big challenge. He says to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell all you have, give the money to the poor, and follow me. What follows? Were you paying attention? This is only Mark now. And you will have treasures in heaven. So if he just said yes, he had his passport to heaven. Easy pass. Our Lord said, hey, very rarely. You say yes, you're already going to go to heaven. That's not too common. What happens? It says, his face fell. Which is a way of speaking, which means he became very sad. Why? Hello? Because he had, this is a New York expression, right, Jim? Mucha guita. He had many possessions, yeah? He went away sad because he had many possessions. And our Lord didn't say, come on back, we'll try to make a compromise. Did our Lord say that? He went away sad because he had many possessions. As my mom would often say, his possessions possessed him. So true. He was possessed by his own possessions. And his possessions were more important than the pearl of infinite price that was standing right in front of him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a very powerful passage, and I think it's a good preparation for Lent that we're about to enter into in 2 days. A good preview of Lent. Now apply this to us. He was a good man. But he wasn't good enough. You people, you're good people. But you're not good enough. Oh, Father, don't say that. I come to 8 o'clock Mass. Father, I'm a saint. Don't say that. You're not good enough. What I do in my programs, and I've started many programs, you know what I do? I raise the bar. Should I lower it a little bit, Eric? Mimi? Should I lower it a little bit? Is it too high? I raise the bar. And you've done the exercise, you know what I'm talking about. I raise the bar. I was listening to a very good speaker last night, listening to a couple of podcasts on the exercises. This very good priest was saying to the people he's talking to, okay, you know, 20 minutes. What did Father Boom say? Triple that, no? Let's go for not 20 minutes, that's, you warm up in 20 minutes, right? Let's go the hour. And for me, at least an hour and a half, I'm aiming for 2 hours. So, you people, you're good people, but you're not good enough. Here's the $100 question, no pun intended now. As you get close to Lent, what is your major attachment right now that's preventing you from following our Lord 100%. Are you willing to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you today? Probably most of you are not. I think most of you are afraid to ask that question. Be honest. You're afraid to ask that question. But now's the time to ask the question. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. You have interior ears. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. And the rich young man, you can say, here I am, Lord, or you can cling to other things. Okay, I'd like to close inviting all of you. This could be very helpful. Today we have, perhaps in the Catholic Church, the richest woman in the Catholic Church, probably in 2,000 years, 2,000 years, that gave it all up to follow Christ. probably the richest woman that in the history of the Catholic Church. She lived about 100 years ago. Today she'd be Elon Musk. She would be. She'd be the Elon Musk. But Elon Musk is not a Catholic. Just pray that he becomes a Catholic, right? She gave up. She'd be a billionaire today. And her name is Saint Catherine Drexel. You ever hear of her? Well, I mentioned her at the beginning of the Mass. Catherine Drexel, what did she do? She gave up all of her money for the poor people. And they were the Indians and the Afro-Americans. And today, if you've ever been in Philadelphia, I lived there for 5 years. One of our rivals of Villanova would be St. Joe's, UPenn, Penn State, and Drexel. You have Drexel University there in Philadelphia, Xavier University, which was the first college for Afro-Americans. So this woman was super rich. She gave everything she had. For the last few years of her life, she was confined to bed because she had a very serious sickness. And there she was offering now her sickness for the conversion and salvation of souls. So, would you have courage today, as you get close to Lent, ask that question, Lord, what is the major obstacle that's preventing me from following you fully, totally, and unreservedly? Let's ask St. Catherine Drexel, St. Anthony of the Desert, St. Alphonse Liguori, St. Charles Borromeo, these very rich people, St. Francis of Assisi, right? Let's pray for the grace to give all to Christ, and he'll give us heaven. Amen.